in 4.
Most people know that things like day trading, payday loans, and get-rich-quick schemes are obviously dangerous. But are there less obvious money moves that could also be hazardous to your wealth? Yep, we all have to be on guard for circumstances and decisions that might separate us from our hard-earned cash if we're not careful. Today, host Rob West shares some that you may not have thought of. Then we'll take your calls and questions on anything financial that you're thinking about. 800-525-7000. Toll-free, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Five bad money moves. They're all next right here on MoneyWise Live. So, Rob, I guess this is where you tell us not to invest in solar powered cars and do-it-yourself dental tools, things like that, maybe.
Exactly. Right. I'll tell you, I hadn't thought of those, but I guess we can add them the list.
Yeah, there's a do-it-yourself chain. In fact, I've invested most of my IRA money into this do-it-yourself a dental and surgical business. It's called Suit Yourself. And soon they'll be on every block where there isn't a McDonald's.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt.
That's great. Okay, where were we? Where do you want to start?
Well, we're talking about bad money moves, and our first one, Steve, does in fact involve investing. We could call it being overexposed with a particular stock or sector of the market, or simply a lack of diversification. Sometimes investors fall in love with a certain stock or mutual fund and put too much of their portfolios into that one particular investment. Anyone can make that mistake, but there is one group, Steve Moore, that is particularly vulnerable to this type of bad money move.
Jazz drummers, guys like that.
No. So people who invest in companies called Suit Yourself, workers who have the opportunity to buy their company's stock as a part of their retirement plan. You see, often companies make that option especially attractive to workers. Well, one rule of thumb is you should never have more than 10% of your portfolio in one stock, mutual fund, or even sector of the market, like healthcare, information technology, or energy. Employees of Enron learned that the hard way in 2001.
Yeah, I remember that well. They not only lost their jobs when the company collapsed, but much of their retirement savings as well. Okay, another bad money move.
Well, this one our friend Ron Blue often talks about, Steve. It's thinking that because something is on sale, it makes it a good deal. You can't save money by spending it, and it's never a good deal if you can't afford it, meaning it causes you to go over budget or buy on credit. Here's another example of this. Let's say you need a new clothes dryer. You're looking at two of them at your favorite big box store. Both are priced at $500, but one's marked down from $700. Which one do you buy?
Well, I would think most people would buy the one that's marked down because that has to be the better machine, right?
Maybe, but maybe not. You know, the one that's marked down may have been a $700 piece of junk, and it's on sale because nobody wanted it. So I think we always have to check the reviews on anything we're buying, certainly in this case on both dryers, and find out what people who've bought them think. That can really be an important piece.
Yeah, all right. Good point. In this case, Google can be your friend. What's next?
Our number three bad money move, Steve, might be called spiteful spending, and here's how it works. Your spouse buys a new set of golf clubs or a pair of Gucci Gladiator sandals without talking to you first. Yes, that is a thing. So you go out and buy something expensive, too, because you're entitled to it, right? Think it doesn't happen? One survey showed that this particular type of impulse buying accounts for, listen to this, over $400 billion a year in the U.S.,
And that's a lot of spite. What's bad? I'm still working on the Gucci Gladiator sandals here. Okay, what about bad money move number four?
Well, that would be an unwarranted fear of the internet, specifically about online banking. First of all, because online banking is free and mailing out paper checks each month to pay your bills probably costs you around $50 a year. But more importantly, banks have multiple layers of security called firewalls that protect online transactions. Now, true, some banks, notably Capital One, have been hacked, but those instances are rare. And on the other hand, your mailbox is likely a good deal less secure and an easy target for identity thieves who want to steal your personal financial information. So that's the first four, Steve. Perhaps we'll get to number five when we come back.
We definitely will. We're not going to give you a peek, however, but you'll want to stick around for Bad Money Move number five. Here's a good move. Give us a call with your question or comment. 800-525-7000. Open lines, 800-525-7000.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Prayer is something that most people only really turn to seriously when the chips are down. You and I can be sure that there are a lot more people praying today than there were before the coronavirus breakout. And yet this whole prayer thing was never meant to be merely a last resort. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond from ChristianityWorks.com. The startling thing is that when you open God's Word, you discover that the only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. I wanted to encourage you again with this truth. Listen carefully. The only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. In fact, we're told to come boldly, boldly before the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So can I encourage you today, take heart, pray boldly, and let God's peace rule in your heart.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985.
Really great to have you with us today on MoneyWise Live. Here's our phone number if you'd like to speak with Rob West. 800-525-7000. We open today's program talking about five bad money moves for just about any of us. Let me see here, Rob. The first one, I believe, was a lack of diversification. The next one was thinking that because something is on sale makes it a good deal, not necessarily so. I think the next one was spiteful spending. That's where the Gucci Gladiator sandals came into play. Fourth was unwarranted fear of the internet. And then the fifth one, well, we haven't gotten to that yet, so what might that be?
You know, Steve, whether it's paying off their student loans or giving them money to get through a rough financial patch, parents often sacrifice their own financial well-being for the sake of their children. And many times those bailouts just make the problem worse by enabling adult children to be irresponsible. And, you know, this is a tough one because often one parent wants to keep helping and the other one sees it as just throwing good money after bad. So parents need to consider those decisions carefully without arguing between themselves. Howard Dayton, our good friend and the former host of this program, often advises married couples to pray about it together. You know, he says it's impossible to argue when you're on your knees seeking God's guidance, and I would certainly agree. Yeah. Of course, another good idea is to seek counseling with a trusted financial advisor or a trusted friend. You know, sometimes a spouse is more likely to listen to the other side of the issue if it's coming from an outside source. So I think the key is oneness in these decisions, and obviously there are times times to be lavish in how we are there to step in for our children, depending upon the situation. But there are many times, and we get these calls often, where we just recognize that by stepping in and providing a financial bailout, we're often reinforcing the bad decisions that have been made in the past. We're perhaps not allowing a lesson to be learned. We may even be robbing God of an opportunity to have a teachable moment. So just be discerning and wise and not always so quick to jump in and provide that bailout.
Yeah, and for parents, and Rob's a parent, I'm a parent, I'm a grandparent, it's hard to say no. We understand that. People that you love, people that you want to see succeed, people you've had born into your home, you want to say yes most of the time. So we know it's hard to say no, and that's why it's important for spouses to agree about these things. And that may take a little while as well. Typically, spouses are different personalities, and one spouse says, yes, let's do it, and the other spouse says, no, I need time to think this through, and the other spouse doesn't like that, and then you're kind of at loggerheads. But it's good to pray about these things, give those things time to to allow God to work in each other's spirit, and then make what you believe is his move for you, your money, and your children. Now, one more time, 800-525-7000 if you'd like to speak with Rob West today about any financial situation you might find yourselves in. And let's begin by going to Miles City, Montana. Hi, Patty. What's on your mind?
Hi, Rob. I'm trying to decide what to do between two choices with using $6,500. I have about 3 months' living expenses in my savings account. If I took $6,500 out and used the $6,500 to buy one more year of service under my employee retirement plan. And that would get me about $50 more a month for the rest of my life, which is a better return than the interest in my savings account by a long shot.
Yes. So you said, would that deplete completely your emergency savings, Patty?
No. No, that leaves me with about 3 months living expenses in my savings.
Okay. Then I'm okay with that. That is a good return on that money. I mean, if you were to take that $6,000 and turn that into a stream of income right now, we would use 4% a year as just kind of a general rule of thumb, and that would throw off only about $20 a month. So if you can increase your retirement $50 over the life of your retirement years until death, I mean, that's certainly a good return on investment. And in that season of life, you're going to be looking to maximize income. I like the fact that you've obviously been able to live within your means, which is why you have a excess in your savings. Are you able, Patty, on a monthly basis to continue to put some money into savings such that you might be able to build this back up beyond the 3 months?
I can, yes.
Okay. What do you have margin?
Well, actually, I'm kind of doing that. I've been fortunate enough to have two incomes right now because I get Social Security from my deceased husband's account. Yeah. And so I also work full time, so I have that. And I decided, well, it was stupid to have two incomes and then pay taxes on that. So I put my employee income into a deferred comp plan.
Okay.
So of that, goes into a deferred comp. But I have other investments. And one is an investment club that I could get out of that quickly if I needed to.
Okay. Very good. Well, it sounds like you're well diversified. You obviously have been making some wise financial moves here. You're exercising some self-discipline and taking your resources rather than increasing your lifestyle and building assets for the future, which is going to give you more flexibility, allow you to give as the Lord leads, but obviously also fund your lifestyle and your expenses. So I'm on board with this plan. I think the key is just try to really focus in on building that back up to 6 months worth of reserves. But I think buying that extra year of service makes a lot of sense.
Great. Patty, we're glad you called today, and we wish you the very best with that. St. Petersburg, Florida. Hello, Greg. How can we help you?
Hi. Hi. I need to find out some information. I had a life insurance policy in which I canceled. I was advised to cancel it because as I got older, I noticed that the monthly premium continued to go higher and higher. So I did end up canceling the policy in which I received a sum of money back. and I'm still holding on to that money, not sure what to do with it. So I need to get some advice on what should I do. I've thought about going back and getting another life insurance policy, but I believe I'll be stuck in the same situation. So I need to find out what can I do about that.
Yeah, it's a great question, Greg. A couple of questions before I give you my thoughts. Number one, I assume you are still working. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what is your age?
I'm 64.
64, okay. And how long do you plan on continuing to work?
Well, my employer, because I am with the Florida retirement system, I have about 3 more years where I will be, where I have to work. I can retire anytime between now and 2023.
Okay.
So I have about 3 more years before I actually will be able to retire from this system.
Okay, very good. But if something were to happen to you, Greg, is there somebody that's depending upon your income right now such that a hardship would be created, or given the assets that you have and the payout on that Florida retirement, if something were to happen to you, it really wouldn't cause any kind of problem with your income going away?
No, not really. I am married, and my wife she's employed also, and she makes way more than I do.
Okay.
And she's been with her employer for almost 30 years, and so she really wouldn't. I would like to leave her something, but she really wouldn't be in a big bind if something happened.
Okay, well, that's really the main purpose for having life insurance is for income replacement. I mean, there are other reasons, being able to satisfy a large debt, being able to fund an education of a child or something like that. And that's why we usually recommend during your working years you have a death benefit equal to 10 to 12 times your income. But you're in that season where you're nearing retirement, even though you might delay it a bit. You've got substantial assets built up. Both you and your wife have retirement accounts and a health the income. So if something were to happen to you, and the opposite would be true with you and her, then there really is not a need for it. So I think at this point, assuming that's the case, then there's not a need to go in and be paying premiums. If you said, no, I think we need, you know, that income replacement for another 5 or 10 years, well, then I'd say go out and get a 5 or a 10 year level term policy, not as a savings vehicle, but just simply to have that death benefit equal to what you would need on your life for her or what she would need on her life for you. But it doesn't sound like that's necessary. So that allows you to recapture this $3,000 and not have any more expense related to a new policy because life insurance is just simply not needed at this point. So then we look at that $3,000 in light of your goals and objectives, God-given values and priorities that really should then flow down to financial goals. So I would say just kind of rattling some of those off, it would start with making sure you all have a 3 to 6 months in emergency savings, make sure that you're doing the giving that you want to be doing, make sure that you have 10 to 15% going into retirement, and it sounds like that's covered because the FRS is a very solid retirement program. It sounds like she has the same on her side. And then beyond that, it's probably just, if there's not any opportunity for debt reduction, like accelerating a mortgage payoff or any consumer debt, it's probably just looking at additional long-term savings or giving opportunities with that $3,000. But when you hear that, is there anything that kind of jumps out at you that might be the next pressing thing?
Well, no, not really. I know that you've mentioned debt and everything. We do not have any debt.
Okay.
We have one vehicle that's we could pay that off anytime because it's way less than it's less than $6,000.
Okay.
We could pay that off anytime. So we do not have any bills or anything that we have to be concerned with. I've wanted to at least try to invest that money some kind of way.
Well, I'd probably go that direction.
For about a year.
Yeah, unfortunately, we got to hit a break here. Thanks so much for calling today. Stay on the line. We'll finish up off the air.
Greg, we appreciate it. You hang in there, buddy. We'll be right back to say hi to Sharonda and John. This is MoneyWise Live, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000.
Do you know if you have enough money, enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
I'm just going to wake up today and I would say, I'm not going to think about this today. I'm not going to think about this today. Has anybody else done that for me? Wake up in the morning, I'm not going to think about this today. How long does that work? Why? Because it's habitual. It's a habit. And I have one to raise my hand in more lessons and in more sermons and go, how? Quit telling me what to do and do not tell me how to do it. How can I just quit thinking about it? And listen, nobody taught me what I'm about to tell you. The Holy Spirit had to tell me himself. What it means in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, when it's talking about tearing down, demolishing strongholds and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ and taking the thoughts captive to Christ, it doesn't mean you quit thinking about the thing that you habitually thought about for 40 years. When you're a victim of childhood abuse like I was, you don't just suddenly one day, okay, I am never thinking about that again. I certainly wished I didn't think about it. It was a habitual thing for me to think about. What God finally got through to me is that taking the thoughts captive to Christ was not that I quit thinking about the old thing. It meant I thought something new about the old thing. What does Christ say about that old thing?
You've been listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore. Beth would love for you to tune in each Tuesday night for Bible study. Classes begin at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Central on TBN. Maybe you had to miss a Tuesday. No problem. Go to BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org. You can watch the latest episode of her television program and more. Again, that's BethMoore.org.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
It's MoneyWise Live. He's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Our phone number is this, 800-525-7000. If you happen to be driving, you want to call, just please be careful about that. Maybe you'd even want to pull over. But if you're thinking about, well, like the last caller was concerned about life insurance, maybe it's giving, maybe it's housing in your case, credit, saving, or something more biblical, faith, trust, eternity, those kinds of things. God's Word says a lot about it when it comes to our money, our resources. So if we can help you think through some things, we have open lines. In fact, we have three open lines right now, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Gary, Indiana. I will not break into song. Sharonda, nice to have you there today. How can we help?
Hi.
Hi. Go right ahead.
I pay $450 a month for a car. I owe $18,000 on it. The value of the car is now down to, I think, about $10,000. And I wonder, what can I do to either pay it off quicker or easier or get out of it?
Yeah, a great question. Do you plan on keeping this car for quite a while, Sharonda?
I was actually just going to use it until I got money to pay up for a car that I can just buy straight out.
Okay. So you would think about selling this car and then taking the proceeds plus some savings and then buying one for cash?
I wish I could, but I have a loan on it, so I don't have the title to it.
I see. Yeah, but if you sell it, obviously you could take the proceeds with a private sale and pay off the debt. Is the car worth as much as you owe, or are you upside down?
Upside down.
Okay. All right. And how much do you think the car is worth versus what you owe on it?
The car is worth ten grand, and I owe $18,000 on it.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. So I think the key here is, you know, you don't want to turn it back in because that's the biggest loss you would see. So you've got a couple of options. Option one is we just really try to focus on, you know, paying this down as quickly as you can. You're not going to be able to refinance it just because you're upside down and perhaps your credit, you know, isn't where it needs to be. But regardless, that kind of difference between the value of the car and the loan is going to be problematic. So we either need to just try to accelerate that payoff by limiting your lifestyle, dialing back your expenses, freeing up margin that you can apply over and above that monthly payment every month to try to get it down to where you're at least even, or sell it with a private sale, try to get a little bit more than you think it's worth, but have a plan to come in and then either take a personal loan or have the savings or sell something that would allow you to free up the resources to satisfy that note. But I think, you know, the last thing we want to do is turn it in. You get a lowball amount for, you know, what you actually have in the way of an asset there, and then you end up with this huge discrepancy between the two numbers. So I think that really needs to be your focus, saving and accelerating the payoff on this, which is always going to come back to the budget. If you need help really thinking through how you keep your expenses in line, a visit with one of our MoneyWise coaches, Saranda. Just go to MoneyWiseLive.org and click on Connect with a Coach, and they'd be delighted to walk with you in this journey, help you figure out where you might have savings opportunities in your budget so you can dial back your spending.
Saranda, we appreciate your call. We don't appreciate the situation you find yourself in. We're sorry to hear about that, but God has a plan even in a situation like this, and so we'll pray that he makes that plain to you and that things work out for you. So hang in there. Do not lose hope. God remains on his throne. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. When we come back, we'll say hi to John and also Steve in Vermont, and perhaps take your call as well, 800-525-7000. I hope you'll stick around.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve his people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hi, this is John Hemmer from Moody Radio. The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And he named them mankind when they were created. That's Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2, the Moody Radio verse of the week.
Here's how one person described the impact of Moody Radio.
It's gotten me to focus on Christ more, starting with reading God's Word, but that also carries over into being a father, being a husband, and also be there for somebody that might be seeking Christ.
Help reach listeners like this with the Word of God.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Arizona has topped 3,000 deaths from the coronavirus. The State Health Services Department reporting 89 new deaths. That brings the statewide total since the outbreak began to 3,063. Governor Doug Ducey facing a deadline to decide whether bars and gyms can reopen. All cadets at the Air Force Academy will return to the Colorado Springs campus in the fall, making the university one of the first in the country to return during the pandemic. Southwest Airlines says it will not allow health waivers to its face mask rule. Only children under 2 will be exempt from the requirement to cover their mouth and nose during flights. Wall Street stumbling today, undercut in part by a discouraging report showing that layoffs are picking up across the country. The Dow dropped 353 points. The NASDAQ was off 244. The S&P down 40. This is SRN News.
You're listening to MoneyWise Live, where timeless wisdom, God's wisdom, meets today's financial choices and decisions. If we can help you, call 800-525-7000. John is in Euclid, Ohio, and what's the situation there, John?
Well, it shall be done to you as you believe, the scripture says, and I am in terrible financial shape.
Oh, so sorry to hear that.
Okay, but there is hope. Because, the factor that is most damaging right now is my expenses are more than my income, but not by a lot, not by a heck of a lot, but say maybe 10% more, something like that.
Yeah.
And so I've got to find a way to increase my income. And I am handy with a hammer, and I do have fairly good credit. I've got a $50,000 line from the bank with which I can buy houses. And myself and my friend James are pretty handy with a hammer, so to speak. So my thinking is take that $40,000. Well, I had $50,000, now I have like $45,000 left. And buy a fixer-upper house somewhere.
Yeah.
Sell it quickly. Buy it right, first of all, so it sells quickly. And make, say, a $10,000, $20,000 profit.
Yeah, yeah. And you're asking whether I think this is a good idea?
Yes. There's more, too.
Okay, go right ahead.
I have an income property. My rent from that income property every month I get is $750, and so I'm paying the income property off. I think my total debt is around, must be $80,000-$90,000, something like that. Okay,
right.
And
do you have some equity in that income property, John?
A little bit. Not much, because I've only had it 3-4 years, something like that.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not crazy about the idea, given what I'm hearing about your situation, of you getting into these, you know, flipping these homes. It certainly sounds good, and I like the idea that you're handy, because that means you're doing the work yourself. You wouldn't be hiring contractors. But it also tells me, though, that given the fact that you're upside down on your expenses, that you probably don't have much in the way of reserves. If you got into a house and you didn't buy right, or you did, but the market took a turn on you, or you bought a property and it cost more to, you know, fix it up, or took more time than you expected. You know, that's, you know, it sounds good, but it's obviously an illiquid asset, and it's going to require you to make a substantial commitment financially with your reserves. And by the way, you're going to have the debt service on that as soon as you take that money out of the line. And if it takes longer, now we're just making this challenge even worse in terms of, you know, a budget that's already upside down is now upside down even more, to the extent extent, you're having to pay for the cost of those funds in the form of interest. So I'm not a big fan of that, despite the fact that I realize, you know, your skill set in this area may make it appealing to you. I'd rather try to solve the underlying issue first, which is we've got to try to live within your means. And I realize you're attempting to do that by flipping homes and adding income. But I just wonder if there's another way. Is there a way to dial back expenses? Is there a way to bring in a more consistent income source that doesn't require you to go out and borrow and do a whole bunch of work? Could you take that same amount of time and get a second job where you're working from home, or something that's going to create an income stream? Could we really make some hard decisions about right-sizing the budget by, you know, selling either that investment property, if you're upside down on that, meaning the income that you're bringing in is not enough to cover the other expenses? Or if it is, maybe you leave that intact, but maybe you downsize your primary residence. Maybe you need to sell an automobile and buy something less expensive. I mean, I think these are the kinds of places I would go first before I try to get into really what is a business that's going to require a significant amount of debt and, you know, buying things just right and hoping that that you can fix them up quick enough and sell them for a profit that you could, you know, make up for this this shortfall in your monthly spending. So I'm going to encourage you, John, to visit with one of our coaches. Go to moneywiselive.org, click on Connect with a Coach, and let's start with the budget side, and let's look at some more conventional ways, perhaps, for you to create some additional income before we start a new business without the reserves underneath us to do it.
Yeah, John, I totally agree with Rob. And, you know, you've mentioned a couple of times you're pretty good with a hammer. Probably means you're pretty good with a saw and a few other things as well. Maybe you could work part-time working for someone else in a small construction scenario where it wouldn't be too much for you, but just enough to bring in some income as you try to reduce your living expenses just a little bit. And we're going to have to let you go on that, but we wish you the best. And if you want to call us back sometime as you move along on this road, feel free to. We appreciate that. Muskegon, Michigan, Nalethia, we appreciate your patience and what's on your mind.
Yes, I was wondering, what do you think about the home warranties? Is it worth investing in something like that?
Yeah. You know, if you're thinking about buying or renewing a home warranty, I think the first thing you need to recognize is they don't cover everything. Also, you usually have to pay a deductible or a service call fee for each claim. So, for example, if you need a plumber to come to the house, you might pay a $75 fee even with the warranty. And the repair may be more expensive than the $75, but it won't be free. One of the nation's leading home warranty providers charges from $35 a month up to $60 a month, depending on what level of protection you choose. So, you know, I think when you factor in the additional cost that's going to go into it over and above the monthly fee in the way of these fees, and just the fact that they don't cover everything, you know, if you go to Consumer Reports and look around, I think you'll find that the consensus is that although in some cases they pay for themselves, if you had a major, you know, event go on that involved a lot of money, that, you know, more often than not, people would rather be in the driver's seat in terms of making their own selections on the service people they're using. And if you took that same amount of money and just put it aside into a savings account for replacement, where you can actually not have to go through the service department of the warranty company and you can handle that yourself and choose any provider you want, that you'd probably at least break even. You may even come out ahead without the hassle. I realize there's a peace of mind involved in knowing that, you know, you don't have potentially this major expense, but when you add up all the fees and everything that's going into it, you know, you're really not safeguarding a whole lot. So I think at the end of the day, for the average person, Nalethia, I would say pass on the home warranty, take that same amount and just put it into savings for specifically for replacement of items in the home.
Hmm. Rob, any idea what items are typically not covered with a home warranty?
Yeah, you know, there's a number of them. I mean, everything from a fireplace to alarm system wiring, telephone wiring, plumbing lines, septic system, sewage, you know, freestanding freezers, garage door tracks, which we just had to replace, you know, above ground spas. I mean, you name it. There's just a whole list of things that are typically not going to be covered. So if you are considering a home warranty, make sure you do your homework. And if there's something in mind that you particularly want to cover, make sure that item's included before you go forward.
All right. Well, that's a good good suggestion, good recommendation, and again, we appreciate your call, Nalithia. Steve, Eileen, Dave, and Tracy, you're next. Please don't go away. This is MoneyWise Live.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. The obvious signs of retirement should be like a stick of dynamite of waking up your responsibility to share your faith. Almost everyone around you is living in fear, and for good reason if they're not Christians. How are they going to know unless someone tells them, unless you tell them? Unless you tell them that the only thing in the entire universe that never moves, never changes, is our Creator, Holy God, who loves them and wants them to spend eternity with Him. You have what they desperately need, and you can't keep it to yourself. Without question, God is allowing the earth to travel to get people's attention and bring them to Him through those of us who know Him. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God just used you to lead somebody to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
When an oil well explosion began releasing crude oil into the Gulf of Mexico in April of 2010, officials constructed a giant box to be lowered over the wellhead on the ocean floor to capture the flow of oil so it could be pumped into ships on the surface. A broken well can be effectively covered. But when we break God's laws, there's only one remedy. The Bible says our sins can only be remedied if they are covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. No other cover is adequate to contain the damage our sins have done. Have your sins been covered? This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's offer to cover your sins on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66, start your journey home today.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
This is MoneyWise Live. You'll find us on all your social media platforms, or you can visit our website, which is moneywiselive.org. Okay, let's go out to Vermont, where it's probably just a bit cooler than Atlanta today. Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Hi, good. I got a couple of questions.
Yeah. Steve, we're having trouble hearing you. Could you move 2 feet one way or the other? Let's see if we get a better line here.
Can you hear me now?
That's better. Thank you.
Okay. We have about $5,000 in a checking account and about $15,000 in their savings. And we wanted to find a way to get better interest from the savings part of it. And the local bank recommended that we go into a debit card and we have to do 12 transactions a month. And we get better interest, but we didn't feel comfortable with a debit card. And we've heard about online banking, so we didn't know if that would be a better way to put the money.
You need that local
bank. Did
you hear me? Yeah, we sure did.
Okay.
What interest rate were they offering?
It's 1.75 if we left it in there for 2 years and we maintained a $15,000 to $20,000 amount.
So is that a CD?
It's a special account that you have to use a debit card for, and you have to have 12 transactions a month.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, you know, with the online savings and the online banks and the high-yield online savings, you know, obviously in this current interest rate environment, interest rates are down, but you can get better than 1% right now without any of that. No minimum transactions, no fees, no certain number of, you know, not using the debit card, not having to leave the money in there for a certain period of time. And with the amount of money we're talking about, it's not really going to make that meaningful a difference. So, for instance, you could go to Marcus right now and get 1.05%. You could go to Ally Bank and get 1%. And these rates will move up as interest rates move up. But I like the online bank, Steve, a lot. I like the fact you can link them to your checking account. And then with a couple of clicks and, you know, 1 to 2 days, you can move the money back and forth. I like that they're fee free. I like that you can have multiple savings accounts if you want to set one aside for a specific savings goal. I like the fact that you're going to get these attractive interest rates. And as rates move up, they'll move up with them, and you have ready access to your funds. So if you need to get to that money because you had an unforeseen expense, and that's probably what it's for, you're not going to miss out on a big portion of the return that's coming to you. But you still feel like you're being a good steward of God's money because you're out there looking for a better return. And by the way, there's FDIC insurance, so you have the backing of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. So that'd be the direction I'd go. The three that I like the best right now are Ally Bank, great customer service, excellent website, Marcus, and then Capital One 360. Any of those, I think, would do well for you. And if you want to learn more about these, Nerd Wallet, you could do some reading there, or Bankrate.com would have some great information about the safety and security of online banking.
And Steve, I've been reading a bit recently. There are some local credit unions around the country that are doing some pretty good interest rates these days. You have to be a member of the credit union. You have to join. But certainly that's not a bad thing. And it might be a whole lot easier than keeping track of your 12 purchases per month in the situation that you mentioned. But we wish you the best with that. Thank you very much. Kat in Ohio. Hi, Eileen. What's your question? Eileen, are you there? Oh, I don't hear Eileen. Okay, we'll put Eileen on hold.
There she
is.
Hello.
Eileen, are you there? Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
I am. Sorry. Okay. I have a house that doesn't have a shower upstairs, a ranch house, and, you know, it's paid off. But when I'm trying to get someone to remodel this bathroom, it's a lot of money. It's a small brick ranch, but, you know, like $15,000 to redo this bathroom.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I don't know about spending the money, you know, and being over the top in the investment as Matt's put into the house. But I kind of would like to do it before I retire, which is in a few years. So I want to do it because I have windfall profit situation, you know, and have PERS, and I started there late. So, I need to do this before I retire. But I'm starting to think maybe I should move because I had a little work in the kitchen I wanted to do, add like a dishwasher and a couple other, do a couple other things. I'm not sure if I should put the money into this house.
Yeah, yeah. What is it? Is it just the cost of the renovations? Is it whether or not this is the home you want to stay in? Is it that perhaps the neighborhood and the resale wouldn't support the cost of these additions? What is it that's really tripping you up?
Resale would, I would not recoup the money out of the resale. It would just be for my own enjoyment.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't believe I could get that out. I haven't called a realtor in yet, but I kind of watch the houses in the area, know what they have and whatever. And I don't think I could recoup any of the money. So I'm thinking, is this foolish to put a bunch of money into this house?
Yeah.
I mean, I know, it's been a good house. I haven't had a lot of problems. And So, you know, there's a few things I'll need to do down the line, like new windows at some point. And, you know, I might need a new AC at some point. But all the big things are kind of okay. I'm just not sure about dumping that much money in.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, let me just make sure I understand. So the bathroom, would it be a remodel or a bathroom addition? Are you adding one where there's not one?
No, it would just be a remodel. And all the estimates I'm getting from regular businesses are, you know, $14,000, $13,000, $14,000, $15,000 and because it's small and it would need everything taken out and redone, you know, because it's old, it's like original bathroom.
Well, a couple of thoughts. Number one is perhaps, you know, check at your local church or ask some friends around the area to see if there's a contractor who could, you know, come in and do this a little cheaper. The average cost of a bathroom remodel, according to Home Advisor, is around $10,500. So you're about 50% higher than that. Now, you can obviously, on a large master's bath, you could spend $25,000 or more. But, you know, the average is around $10,000. And so 15 is quite a bit higher than that, especially for a small bathroom. So I'd look into that. But I think perhaps there is something more to this that you're saying, you know, maybe the neighborhood doesn't support it. I've got a lot of these little things. They're going to add up. I'm not sure if I really want to be doing all these things. So I think perhaps, Eileen, the next step is for you to go ahead and find a realtor who's a specialist in this area. Maybe look for the person that has the most signs as you drive around your neighborhood and the nearby neighborhoods, just so you know that this person is committed to your area. Have them come in and weigh in on two things. Number one is, could you buy a newer home that you're happier with the amount you have to spend that would perhaps allow you not to have to do some of these renovations yourself and take advantage of renovations or improvements that other people have done? Secondly, find out if the realtor believes that the improvements you're talking about would be the kind of improvements that you could get out of it and even have he or she pull some comps in the area. And then thirdly, what you may find is that as you go out and shop with this realtor or talk to the realtor about what you have to spend, he or she may say, you know what, with the kind of money you have available, you're just going to get into another situation where it's going to be, you know, you're going to need to put this kind of money into it. And if you're going to do renovations, you might as well do it in a home that you like and that's been, you know, well taken care of, and, you know, you haven't had a lot of problems with it. But I think all of that can come out of spending an hour or two with a professional who knows the area and can weigh in on these things. So that'd be my recommendation on where you go from here.
And Eileen, a realtor more than likely will also know some people who do remodeling. She may know someone that you haven't run across yet, he or she. We appreciate your call today. Thanks. Let's try to squeeze in one more. Grand Rapids. Hi, Dave. How can we help you? What's your question?
Hi, I appreciate your taking my call. Say, my wife and I are just seeking some advice. We met with our financial advisor a couple weeks ago to go over our retirement plan that we had set up. And as we were going over it, he suggested as a way of freeing up a little bit more money in the plan, he suggested maybe taking on a universal life insurance that he said would not necessarily pay out to me, but would pay out to the retirement plan when I would pass away. And I'm not a fan of whole life, and I'm not so sure about universal life, if that's the same thing, just a different name. So are you familiar with something like that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, universal life, basically your monthly fee splits into two parts. One covers the life insurance, the death benefit, and the other goes to a savings and investment. And it's meant to be more flexible because it allows you to choose how much premium you pay within a certain range. And, you know, it's using an insurance product as a savings vehicle. I would rather you not go that way unless there's a real specific reason for it. I'd rather you save in more conventional ways outside of it. And then for the death benefit that you need to protect you and your family, I would just buy term insurance to cover the full amount of what you need so you have the proper amount of insurance, and then you save outside of insurance products in retirement accounts and things like that, where you have a little bit more control and less in the way of fees and expenses as it relates to the money you're putting aside for the longer term.
Does that help a little, Dave?
Kind of the thought. I was thinking that way, but I'm not really. I don't spend my life studying these things. So I'm really not familiar with them. So I was just wanting to get a little, somebody else's perspective on that. But that was kind of where my wife and I were leaning anyway. So I just appreciate your help on that.
Absolutely, Dave. Thank you for your call, sir.
Amen. God bless you, Dave. Thanks so much. And with that, our clock is telling us we're going to have to scoot pretty much for today. Rob West, thank you. It's always a pleasure, sir.
And you, Steve.
Thank you. And we'll come back tomorrow and do it again. This program, MoneyWise Live, is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. If you enjoy the program, if you find something helpful now and then, maybe you could tell a friend so they could listen in, and we'd appreciate that. My thanks to our technical crew today, Amy, Dan, Rich, and Gabby T. Hope you have a wonderful remainder of the day and that you'll drive safely and come back and join us again tomorrow.